Steve-O, what do you got for us?
Last night I was at the Palladium, which is great to be back at Crown with everything back to normal. It'd been a while, since the BNFs were rolled out. So last night, obviously, the Bulldogs had their BNF, as the Night Owl told us. Josh Dunkley, the winner from Tom Limbratore and Aaron Norton. Now, the mood in the room was interesting. It was reasonably warm. There was certainly no heckling when Dunkley won. There's no doubt the crowd wanted Libba to get up, but Dunkley rushed past him in the last three or four rounds. I'd say the reception was 40 to 50% velocity as far as it would have been had, say, a Libba or an Aaron Norton won. But it was polite. There was applause and enough warmth that it was a pretty smooth exit for Josh Dunkley, considering it was a fairly uncomfortable situation in many ways. Luke Beveridge had to present the award and give a little speech, and then Dunkley had a chat. So let's just take a listen to how Dunkley handled it when he spoke up at the podium.
I was always going to come tonight. I mean, Bevo touched on not cutting the cord and being here, and I'm not that type of person that would never show up to an event like this. I mean, I owe it to everyone. I've tried my absolute heart out for this football club, and I hope everyone knows that, to be honest. It's just that I'm not that person or player that really wanted to leave anything behind me, and I owed it to everyone to be here tonight, and I'm grateful that I am here to accept the award, obviously, the Charles Sutton Award, and it's a massive thing for the footy club and for myself personally, so it's such an honour to be here tonight.
So he said how much he loved the club, he loved the players, loved playing for the colours, loved the fact he'd won a premiership, loved everybody in the room, but he's still going up to Brisbane.
How do you feel about that, Steve-O?
Oh, I think that's footy business, and I think the Bulldogs will get their fair reward, which will be a first-round pick. I know half thought in the 11 to 20 range. I think it'll be better than that, and they'll move on. Whitey, even though he won the best and fairest, he's certainly not the best footballer or the most valuable footballer at the club. But, he had a great year, and good luck to Josh Dunkley.
So for those playing at home, what are the rules of engagement here? Is he a free agent? Is he not a free agent? Does it have to be a trade? How does it all work?
Well, it has to be a trade. He's out of contract, so that gives him a bit of leverage. And the Bulldogs haven't come out, Whitey, and said, well, hang on. You know, let's just don't count your chickens just yet. You're not at Brisbane yet. They've been quite calm about it, saying that they'll get a deal done. So I don't think, as you said, the best and fairest probably won't add to his value at all. It'll just come down to negotiation between Brisbane and the Bulldogs, and they'll get a deal done in the end. So I think, I still think it's around a pick 7 and 8, particularly as a BNF.
How are they going to get that?
Well, Brisbane might be able to make a bit of a switcheroo or some future picks, or they're going to have to come up. Well, they're going to have to come up with that half, otherwise it won't happen. I know that you said 11 to 20. I think it's more in the 8 range.
Okay.
Particularly after a BNF. So,
but you just said it doesn't add any value.
What's that?
You just said the BNF doesn't add any value, so you can't just say particularly after a BNF.
Yeah.
You can't drop that little zinger late.
No, that's fair enough.
You've got to be consistent.
It slipped out.
The Bulldogs' colours came out late.
No, not at all. But no, it was a good night down there. And Luke Beveridge was interesting. He was very diplomatic. He just had a little dig at Andrew Dunkley, Josh's dad, who's been pretty vocal. He's one of those parents that doesn't mind maybe picking up the phone, having a chat to the coach. And he said, I know that your dad wanted you to maybe have more opportunities at times, and we gave that. And in the end, his career really blossomed. So, Andrew Dunkley, great fella. He's just one of those dads, I think, at times that gets involved half.
Does he?
Mm. You'd know that as a junior coach and perhaps a women's coach as well. Junior coaching can be tough with the parents.
Not if I'm running the show, Steve-O.
Tight ship.
You're welcome to take the whistle anytime you like.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, it's your job. Have a great time.
Right. Little Johnny should be on a half-back flank or dad attachment to shoulder.
You're welcome to take training for the next 15
right.
weeks. If you want to do that, fantastic. Little Johnny can play wherever he likes.
Yeah. And what about Jack Gunston? Of course, he spoke at that TAB function, the lavish function that the TAB had on, what was it, Tuesday. He was giving all the messaging that he was leaving, and now it's official half. He's off to Brisbane. As Whitey mentioned, that the machinations behind Dunkley, well, this one's very simple. As a free agent, he just walks, and Hawthorn will get some compensation. Given his age and it's only a two-year deal, they won't get a lot, actually. They're probably around the pick 40-something, which is fair enough. He's a loss to Hawthorn, though.
Loss to Hawthorn.
You know, as an opposition team or coach, you look at the two guys that scare you are Bruce and Gunston. When they turn it on, they're so clean and effective in the forward line.
Yeah, I think Gunston is a very underrated player who will be such a good player for Brisbane. But the reality is where Hawthorn is at and where Brisbane are at, Gunston's a much better fit for Brisbane for the now. It's interesting that Bruce stayed and Gunston left. I mean, there's been a lot of interest in Gunston now for a couple of years. And
yes.
I think the only reason really why he didn't leave earlier, there were two reasons. The amount of money he was getting paid at Hawthorn meant it was hard for him to leave, as in, and sort of on top of that, because he had that back injury, there was a bit of buyer beware, a bit on, it's a bit of a risk considering the money you're on, mate, to go and, you know, grab you for the price that he was getting paid at Hawthorn. So I think in this situation now, going as a free agent, he gets the money that a club is comfortable in paying.
Yep. Yeah, 211 games for the Hawks, 410 goals. It's an All-Australian premiership player, of course.
Is it 14 at Adelaide?
Best and fairest. 14 at Adelaide, yes, spot on. Three-time leading goal kicker. He's been a fabulous player for the Hawks. They will absolutely miss him.
But, yeah, he's
you're right.
One of the few lead-up type forwards these days.
Well, he can do anything. Get out the back, he can lead at the footy, he can take the pack mark. He's very good. He's a very, very good player, Jack.
I still think he's the best. Well, he and Bruce are actually great. The set shots, the best in the business.
He's a footballer, Jack Gunston. He's a natural footballer.
Yeah, he's going to be very good for Brisbane. So Brisbane lose McStay, bring in Gunston.
That's a
pretty good deal, isn't it?
It's a big win.
And they'll lose their compensation that they would have got for McStay, you'd think.
Yes.
So it sort of becomes just an even Stevens deal. One out, one in.
And essentially they'll lose their first pick for Dunkley. But then they're going to get Ashcroft as a father-son, which is like getting the number one pick. So they're getting three players that I think for round one next year will be in their top 15 players, the three of them.
That's a positive?
Absolutely. For a team that finished in a preliminary final.
And needs bases too, like two mids coming in and a hybrid forward who can win games for you.
There's a lot of talent in the forward line when you've got Lincoln McCarthy and you've got Charlie Cameron plus Jack Gunston.
Cam Rayner floating around.
Cam Rayner, who's still underachieving a bit. He'll be coming off that
knee.
He's
coming off that knee. Give
coming off a knee, I know. But just as a number one pick half, time to deliver next year for Cam Rayner.
And will they have the coach, though? Well, who'll be coaching?
Who knows?
Mm.
What about Jack Graham over in Adelaide yesterday? He said he was just going to visit family, and then the media sprung him at Port Adelaide, walking across the ground with Ken Hinckley having a tour of the facility.
Do you know he's not related to Ken Hinckley down the line? Is he the third and fourth cousin of Ken Hinckley?
Maybe he's from Camperdown as well, originally.
Maybe he's got some relations there.
Yeah, so obviously he'd be looking at his options, Hopper and Taranto coming in at Tigerland. Good player, Jack Graham. Is he much loved, Tiger?
Well, there was some talk last season that he might be the next captain.
Correct.
Mm.
So he must be fairly highly regarded.
I think he's regarded as much for what he does off the field as on the field. You might remember he almost became a legend with that shoulder. Remember he played in the prelim with the shoulder and went back on and he couldn't play the grand final, but he was able to, you know, to be that extra rotation for them to get over the line. So I think he plays often quite a selfless role for Richmond.
The Hawthorn scandal still bubbles away. It's not quite erupting at this stage, but she's bubbling. Alistair Clarkson's put another statement out, so a second one, and they're getting hotter by the statement, if you like. He says he's shocked and distressed. He's basically now saying, after the report was leaked to the Herald Sun in full, he's saying that there's now a slim chance of a fair trial, effectively.
What's your take on that?
Well, I tend to agree. I mean, there's been that much commentary and detail out, and he hasn't had a chance to reply. Hasn't even seen a hard copy of the report. First he's read of that is in the paper. So the quote that Clarko's saying is, "I now have grave concerns that any chance of a fair process and just outcome, well, they've been seriously undermined, if not corrupted." Sorry, there's a word there I couldn't get out after 4 hours sleep.
We'll get the violins out.
Irrevocably. Irrevocably corrupted.
It's close enough.
So it's certainly a concern. He denies in the strongest and most emphatic terms possible that he did anything wrong. So these statements from Fagan and Clarkson are getting stronger by the day, half, and we still haven't got a panel of the four people. Perhaps they're finding it difficult to find people because you reckon Michael Christian's got a tough job as the MRO. Try sorting this one out, half, and coming up with a decision. Like, seriously, Whitey, would you put your hand up to go on this panel?
Absolutely zero chance.
I reckon there'd be a few in that boat at the moment. Sorry, Gil, can't help you.
Too hard.
Got stuff. I'm uncontactable. I'm overseas. I'm uncontactable. Clive Palmer style.
So Andrew Newbold's been entwined in this as well.
Are you surprised that the report won't be given, not hasn't been, but won't be given to those that have been implicated in all this, like Andrew and Chris Fagan and Alistair Clarkson and Jason Burt, that they will not be receiving a copy of the report?
Well, they've received a copy of the Herald Sun.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but good, they should good receive a hard copy.
Because it's coming out
at the newsagents.
But they will not be receiving a copy. Like, are you surprised by that?
I am. It should have been gift-wrapped with a ribbon and sent express post. It should have been express post to all the players.
I find that interesting that they are refusing to actually give them a copy of the report, considering they have been so significantly hindered and hampered.
But isn't this affected by all this?
Not that the other parties have not. I'm certainly not suggesting that there's nothing to look at here, but I just think, as we've discussed a bit, you've got to have some balance in a case like this and have people been across what actually has been alleged and a chance to refute or explain themselves.
But the fact that this report was leaked to the media, it has integrity holes in it already.
Yep. How do you think Clarko's feeling now? He can be angry at times. He'd be bouncing off walls. He would be absolutely filthy. And I think he'd be filthy on the process, probably filthy on Hawthorn. He'd be saying, well, who's leaked this? The whole process was one-sided. My old club, you know, played in all the premierships. You haven't really looked after me too well, have you? A one-sided report that gets leaked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wonder what the sentiment from the public is. Oh, I think last week, I mean, we're all, after we heard the allegations, we all think, bloody hell, now, this is unusual, but unbelievably serious and quite disturbing, and that still stands, I think. But do you think because of the way it's been handled that there is a shift in the public sentiment that Clarkson, Fagan and Burt and now Newbold have been harshly done by, and there's a bit more of an empathy towards them on the back of all this?
Yeah, I think it's swinging back wide, and I'd say it's hold your horses moments now. Let's just wait and see how it unfolds.
I think the fact that it's been flooded in the media the way it has, I think it becomes a thing of fairness a bit. That it has been so one-sided, and this whole thing I keep saying, this he said, she said situation, that the comments are really strong from the players involved, and they obviously have to be taken extremely seriously. But Half, we said the day it broke that it would be incredibly unfair for us to comment either way because we hadn't heard the other side of the story. And now that Fagan and Clarkson have come out so strongly defending themselves, I believe personally that their comments should be taken at the same weight as the
aggrieved.
The aggrieved players. It should be equal weight.
Yep. Just quickly, Half, of course, Joel Selwood, as we predicted, his exit happened Wednesday, which was yesterday.
As you predicted, not we. No, well, don't throw us. We don't deserve any credit here.
Yeah, we had a bit of a whisper.
You said on Monday morning, post-grand final, that there will be a press conference Wednesday. Have you got the audio, Craig? Can you press a button for me? I'd like just to hear this again from our man, Stephen.
Joel Selwood,
what's the percentage chances of him retiring?
I'll tell you this now. I think it's 99.95%. But I'm not going to rain on his parade, and I think the announcement, I'm using this as a little bit of guesstimation, but I'd expect some sort of presser on Wednesday and then turn up the best and fairest Thursday, which would be a magnificent way to go out, Half, if that happens.
Look at you. Press conference Wednesday, being
at
Thursday.
Media plan.
you had the whole thing lined up from Monday morning. Yeah. And Stephen, outstanding work.
Yeah, Did you cut that, Stephen?
No, I didn't cut that. I'm not sure. I think it must have been Mikey. It was a little bit disjointed, but we got there in the end with that grab. But Joel Selwood certainly wasn't disjointed when he fronted the media. There's a love-in, really. Joel Selwood's just had a magnificent 4 or 5 days. Take a listen.
There'll be a stage where I absolutely miss it. I'm okay now. I'll miss it when the boys go back to training. The fierce competitor in me won't leave me. But it's the other side of it when I have to, you know, lying on the floor instead of sitting on the couch because I'm so sore. Like my wife has seen crawl to the toilet instead of walk during the middle of the night. Like, they have been scenarios that have played out at different times that I probably won't miss that side of it. But I will miss being around this place.
Yeah, it's a brutal world, footy, isn't it?
Well, not really. He's had a good time.
Oh, yeah, but your body, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well,
crawling to the toilet.
We've all done stupid things like that.
That's me after playing 18 holes of golf at the moment.
That used to be me after the Dogs BNF. Now I have to get up.
Come on, Mark.
That's, get up so
that's
early.
Immature. That's a bit.
Get up so early. So what do they do now? So what happens on these occasions when a legend of the game and a giant of the game hangs up the boots, and Joel Selwood fits that category comfortably in my eyes? We get very emotional and we want to do stuff to stamp the moment. So there's a little column in the paper today. How do the Cats honour Selwood? Is it name a new grandstand after him? Name a gate? The internal Cadinia Park Road? Could be the Selwood Way leadership? Do they retire the number 14 jumper? Is there a statue at the front? How do we celebrate the career of Joel Selwood from Geelong?
Maybe we could ask the listeners. Maybe the roadhouse could be renamed on the way out of town. Where you get those jaffles.
Is that where he had that little interaction with the 18-year-old on the weekend that drove him home?
Needed a lift home.
He needed a lift home and he had the cup in the back or something. He forgot his keys, and it was a bit of a saga that he told the story yesterday at the press conference, which was quite funny. She had no idea who he was.
I think in those situations around how you recognise someone, you need time. I think you need time. Mm. And then I think something resonates with someone and said that's appropriate. I think to do it straight away carries too much emotion. And I don't think it's then done properly.
I think you leave
it a bit of time. There's more construction obviously going down at Geelong anyway at the moment. Just let it sit for a while.
The statue.
We're not going to forget him.
Yeah, a head bandage on.
So I want to go through the draft that he was part of. So we've got to go back to 2006.
I'll tell you the player that went before him in a minute.
Go on.
Mitch Thorpe.
That is correct.
Hawthorn.
Is there a Gumbleton sort of floating around there that year as well?
Bryce Gibbs, number one. Scott Gumbleton, number two. Lockie Hansen, number three, to North Melbourne. Matthew Leuenberger to Brisbane at four. Then Travis Boak, five. Mitch Thorpe, six. Joel Selwood, seven. Ben Reid, eight. David Armitage, nine. And Nathan Brown to Collingwood at 10. But some of the other players in this draft, this actually was a strong draft. It wasn't really at the top outside of Gibbs, but there were some injuries that sort of made it difficult for Gumbleton and Hansen. Mm. No, obviously, I'm talking about more the top sort of three or four.
Thanks, Shifter.
I'm being serious here, Mark. A bit of respect would be nice. Jack Revolt was at 13. Going down a bit further, Shane Edwards was at 26. Kurt Tippett was at 32.
Are you putting Kurt Tippett into the...
No, I'm not.
Jack Rewalt and Shane Edwards.
No, I'm not. Definitely not.
Just checking.
Todd Goldstein was at 37.
He's Toddy! Obviously still going.
Josh Kennedy was a father-son to Hawthorn. Basha Hooley to Essendon with pick 42. Tom Hawkins was father-son at 41.
That doesn't count, father-son.
It's a super draft.
Well, no, I'm just saying that there were some very good players that came out of this draft. Robbie Gray, 55. So, yeah, just thought I'd throw those in there.
Robbie Gray, he'd almost be, should be high in the top five. Robbie Gray, handy player. So Mitch Thorpe, obviously down in Tassie. RSN Central had him on, Matty Nevitt. He's coaching down there at the moment. And, they spoke to him about a month ago. So still playing or coaching local footy down there. I remember he made headlines at the Herald Sun. They did a community camp and he was shooting ducks or something, carrying a gun around, and it ended up in the paper. Mitch Thorpe.
As part of the... community camp.
Yeah, it was part of the community camp.
Shooting ducks.
Yeah.
Real ducks.
Yeah, and it made the back page of the Herald Sun. It was quite a controversial story at the time.
Sure,
an inappropriate image. Yeah, he had a shotgun.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
That would be... imagine doing that today. Imagine the story today if that happens.
I think I've said this story many times, but I remember the national championships. Mitch Thorpe played like Jonathan Brown. It was a wet day out at your place, Icon Park.
Home of footy.
And he was seen as the big thing, real big deal. And then who actually starting that game, playing more on a half-forward flank, was Jack Revolt, who kicked a couple of really important goals. And he sort of went ahead of, in the eyes of some, ahead. But you know when sometimes people have made up their mind about someone that he's going to be the man and he's still got picked early?
Well, it's a body of work stuff as opposed to just one.
That's right. But this, all of a sudden, Jack that day really sort of emerged as... took a couple of really nice marks in tough conditions, kicked a couple of goals, and thought, this guy's a bit special.
Yep.
What about the Essendon situation? What's going on?
Yeah, still bubbling along. Brad Scott now warming his favourite. I think Whitey's...
Is he going to be with you today? Is that right?
Yeah, so Whitey, I have full faith in Whitey's mail, and of course he revealed yesterday that Scott had the job, so, pretty much had the job, so we wait and see that. And I know that Whitey's well connected at Essendon. So the other story is Jeff Walsh at St Kilda. are chasing him as head of footy. He keeps rotating around Walshy, doesn't he?
He's saving clubs one by one in the last little bit.
Who's going to be the CEO at Essendon?
I don't know. Well, this is where you come in. This is your wheelhouse.
Apparently there's four left in the race.
Who are they?
I'm not sure. I'd tell you if I knew, Whitey. I'd tell the listeners, but they've kept that very tight.
Who are they, Whitey?
No, I don't know.
No leakage at all.
One thing Essendon's done very well is they've kept things very close to their chest, and usually these things kind of leak out. But considering also it's been pretty much 5 weeks since Xavier Campbell left and Ben Rutten left, it's taken a lot of time to get to where they're at the moment, but there hasn't been a lot of leaking going on, so that's credit to the club for what they've done.
Righto. Well,
thanks, Huff.
Great work from you, Stephen. I'll let you get out there and give Ruby Schleicher a call, who's going to join us after the break. Whitey, what's happened with the nearest opinion
competition?
We've
got the five contenders. There's a couple of regulars here too. So this is who we've got. We've got Tyrrell Hatton. Big Dog is the representative for
Tyrrell
Hatton.
Well, the dog got involved.
He got in there first.
Well done, dog.
Shane Lowry will be represented by Michael. It's probably the other way around. But anyway, Peter has got Rory McIlroy. So
good on you,
Peter, well done, Peter, because there was about 50 that wanted Rory. Danny Willett will be Krazza. So well done, Krazza.
Got in.
And my favourite, Matt Fitzpatrick, will be represented by Andrew. So that is the five this week playing for the Callaway Jaws Raw Wedge. Pure spin. That's rawest form, valued at $299. And when you use these clubs, Daniel, as we've used before at the driving range, it's quite dangerous because they spin back to your feet from 100 metres away.
Like that. That's the sound of the ball. It's magnificent stuff. 27 past 7. Well done to all our contestants. Ruby Schleicher after this.